Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, this is old school Survivor.
Talking to myself, running with the heat, aiming for your touch in the middle of the street.
Hey, just belt it out, Andy. Just let it go.
I'm not totally confident on the words.
Is this long-haired Andy version?
No.
Did you ever have long hair?
Oh, yeah. I used to have
There's a picture out there.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find it. I'll retweet it.
Did Brian?
No, you love retweeting that. It's like Michael with his arm photo.
I do love retweeting that photo. Yeah, and Brian never had long hair.
Is Michael coming in here tomorrow?
I would assume so. I can ask him, though.
All right. So one of the questions I would ask him, if you were here today, is what I'm about to put out to you. And we can take some calls on this because Bergman loves calls.
They're the best.
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. If, Andy, you, as I mentioned earlier, do the Locked On Lakers podcast, you're dealing with a lot of Lakers stuff. As a form of entertainment, do you prefer, if I made you pick one, do you prefer Legacy, which is the authorized documentary on the Lakers featuring the people that actually lived it,
right,
or Winning Time, which is the entertainment vehicle based on Jeff Perlman's book, for which I think John C. Reilly might win an Emmy as Jerry Buss? It's very entertaining. I think they're both very good. If I made you pick one, which one would you pick?
If I have to pick one, and this is tough because I know Jeff and I really like Jeff, I'm very happy for his success, I would probably take the documentary.
Legacy?
I find like I think Winning Time is more maybe purely entertaining or wild.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm actually learning more, like in ways that I'm surprised by in the documentary. And I understand that the documentary to a lot of people feels sanitized in some ways because the Lakers are involved with the Jeannie Buss, Linda Rambis. So it's not going to be an expose, but that doesn't mean it's not interesting. Like, there are a lot of ways that I find Legacy more interesting than Winning Time. Winning Time's just more wildly entertaining.
Right. And I agree with you. Bergman, if you had to pick one, which one you like better?
Well, I mean, I'm watching both of them, and I like both of them. But I feel like if Legacy came out before Winning Time,
yeah,
I would have liked it much better.
Yeah, Winning Time had the advantage of getting out first.
Correct. So because of that, and because of the way that what I already saw, how much I enjoyed it and everything that happened within it, I think I prefer Winning Time. But I do like Legacy.
The reason I think I like Legacy is, boy, if Winning Time just would have stuck to the book. I mean, and Jeff's very proud of Winning Time.
Those weren't Jeff's changes.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff had nothing to do
with
that.
No, but he likes the changes they made. He likes the project. He's talked openly about the fact that it's one of
the... Yeah, I've interviewed him, too, on Locked On Lakers.
Yeah, the highlights of his career. Yeah, like Zastro's made up. The Jerry West stuff bothers me. They make Chick out to be, kind of a mean guy.
The biggest change I didn't like in Winning Time was Jeannie Buss basically at age 17, like still in high school, being like a wunderkind advising the organization, which A...
Yeah, she was at USC or still
right,
in high school.
A, it didn't happen, but B, from a pure creative, you know, like in terms of story presentation, I actually thought they shortchanged Claire Rothman's character. Like, I think Claire Rothman's character, who we know was very important during that time, they could have done more with her, but they were focusing on Jeannie's influence in the organization, which wasn't happening then. Like, that was a change that I thought didn't justify itself. It was basically, people know Jeannie Buss, so we want to make her a bigger character.
I will say this. You used the word sanitized. And again, 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in on this stuff. 877-710-3776 if you like one over the other. You mentioned that, and I think this is a fair statement, that some people will think Legacy is sanitized because the Lakers are producing it. I will let you in a little bit behind the scenes on something. when Antoine Fuqua and the producers started to make Legacy, Linda Rambis reached out to me and she said, hey, we're doing this documentary for Hulu. They're going to call you. Please cooperate with them and say whatever you want. In other words, they're not telling you. I think as this thing continues to evolve, especially, Andy, in regards to the stuff with Jim and Jeannie and how that all came down, I think that they're both not going to hold anything back. Well, I don't think it will be, for lack of a better word, sanitized. I think they're going to let each other have it.
The most interesting stuff by far in Legacy, and like we talked about earlier, I've not caught up on episode 3, but I've seen the first two episodes.
It's good.
By far the most interesting stuff so far has been the dynamic between Dr. Buss and all the kids. Like in a lot of ways, the least interesting stuff to me is actually the games and like the on-court stuff, because, you know, it's fun to watch the Lakers win, but this stuff has been retold so many times. But hearing the kids actually talk about their relationship with their dad, like in their own words, as opposed to being written about, has been really interesting. Like the most poignant moment, I thought, in the first two episodes is when they start focusing on Magic's relationship with Dr. Buss. And, you know, Magic got that 25-year, $25 million deal, which was unheard of then. And there was, tension between Magic and some of the players over that. But also, too, it spoke to Magic's relationship with Dr. Buss and how Dr. Buss was in some ways like a surrogate second father to him. And Johnny Buss says, you know, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but he really wasn't like he didn't really treat Magic like a son. Like, I would know. I know what that's like. And on one hand, you could treat that as Johnny Buss being jealous, you know, like of his dad's relationship with Magic. But on the other hand, you could treat it as Johnny Buss saying, and this is something the documentary gets into, I know what it's like to be Dr. Buss's son. And up until the point where he got us all involved with the Lakers, I didn't really have a relationship with him. He kind of ignored me. So I know that being Dr. Buss's son means you're not treated this way. The way he treated Magic is not how he treated one of his kids.
Yeah.
It's open to either interpretation. I found that very poignant.
I think that by the time all the Legacy episodes come out, that people are going to like it even more than Winning Time. Here's Adam in L.A. Hey, Adam, you're on ESPN L.A. Hi.
Hi. It's funny. I was actually just kind of thinking to myself that what Andy said was exactly what I kind of wanted to say. It actually, I feel like, is the first time Magic is not being an entertainer. He's actually really getting to the crux of who Magic is and, you know, what was actually happening behind the scenes. I've never really seen him seen him to be this authentic. I think there are a lot of times where he comes in very calculated and wants to be an entertainer and just wants to be liked by everyone. And he's finally admitting that there are times where he rubs people the wrong way, whether that was the kids or that was his teammates. And I actually find that to be, you know, something illuminating that we've never really seen from him. And also, obviously, the kids and the teammates also acknowledging that too. I think the one person that I have a hard time with in general is Jeannie trying to play her father's legacy. Even just the creation of the documentary itself. I think that is the one thing I have a hard time with. But the rest of it, I think, is the first time we've ever seen an authentic look at the team or the organization, excuse me.
So, Adam, did you watch Winning Time?
I did.
Which one do you like better?
I like this one a lot more.
You like Legacy?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
thanks.
I like it a lot more.
I do too. I think that, you know, you get to hear, like, you haven't watched episode 3 yet. There's a story in episode 3 that I've known for a lot of years that I'm curious if you know this story. Do you know that Dr. Buss traded James Worthy?
No.
Okay, so this, you should watch Legacy to get the actual details. But in 1986, so keep in mind, the Lakers finally break through and they beat the Celtics in 85. In 86, Houston builds that team with Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon, the Twin Towers team, and they knock the Lakers out in the playoffs on a circus shot by Sampson. And so everybody said, well, the Laker dynasty might be ending. You know, the Rockets knocked them out in the Western Conference playoffs. Dr. Buss had a good relationship with Donald Carter of the Mavericks. And so they were out doing something, eating dinner, playing poker, blah, blah, blah. And I had heard this from Dr. Buss before, and I'd heard it from Worthy. They get to talking, and Donald Carter says, boy, that James Worthy is a great young player that you have. And he said, well, you know, Magic is really good friends with Mark Aguirre and would love to play with Aguirre. And I love this Roy Tarpley, this rookie you have. Would you trade me Aguirre and Tarpley for Worthy? And Donald Carter goes, right now, I would do it. And they shook hands, and that was it. And Dr. Buss calls Jerry West and says, I just made a trade. And Jerry West is the GM. Right. And Jerry West goes, what? You made a trade? You've never done that before. Who'd you trade? He goes, I traded James Worthy for Mark Aguirre and Roy Tarpley. And Jerry West, and you'll see this in part three of the Legacy Doc, Jerry West says, well, then you don't need me anymore. He goes, that's a horrendous mistake.
I was just about to say, I want to know what Wes's reaction, because that's a terrible trade.
He said, if you do this, I'm not going to continue working for you. You can't pull the rug out from me on this. And plus, I just think it's horrible for our team. I think you're going to ruin the team. And Jerry Buss said, well, I can't afford to lose Jerry West. So he called Carter back. And he said, this is the part that's not in the doc. He said, Don, I know we shook hands and we made a deal, and I'll honor it if you feel strongly about it. But if this deal goes through, I'm going to lose my GM, and he's a very important part of my franchise. Would you consider letting me out of the deal? And Donald Carter said, since you came at me this way, yes, I will let you out of the deal. And, you know, Worthy had heard nothing. And some reporter called him and said, hey, I think you've been traded to Dallas for Mark Aguirre and Roy Tarpley. And Worthy said, well, I don't know what Laker management decisions are being made, but nobody's told me. And it seems like our management doesn't know what they're doing. So the trade falls apart. And Donald Carter lets Jerry Buss out of the deal. And Worthy comes back the following fall to go to camp. And he gets word that Dr. Buss would like to see him in his office. And he thinks that, Worthy thinks that Dr. Buss is going to say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, we didn't mean to put you in trade rumors. Hope everything's okay between us, blah, blah, blah. And it was the opposite. He called him into the office and he said, James, if you were wondering who management is and who's making the decisions, that's me. You were criticizing me. And if you have a problem with me, you should come to me directly. And Worthy said after that, he always went to Jerry Buss directly.
Well,
but can you believe that James Worthy was almost traded for Roy Tarpley? He was out of the league 3 years later with a drug problem.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's among the many reasons it would have been an awful trade. A couple takeaways from that. First of all, I don't blame Worthy for thinking that management was somebody else, because it's unheard of for your owner to strike a deal like that. Other takeaways, just Dr. Buss recognizing that he went against his own principle, which is let the guys that you trust make decisions, stay out of their way.
Right.
He almost created a big problem by going against that principle. But also, too, the idea that the Mavericks owner let him out of this, it's a reminder that your relationship with other owners around the league matters.
Yeah, and Dr. Buss had kind of a, if you've ever read the Kipling poem, If.
Yeah.
Dr. Buss prided himself in knowing everybody from the parking lot attendant to the other owners in the league. He was just that guy.
It's smart, though.
And that's what you're talking about, that he had relationships with people where if you could do Jerry Buss a favor, you would do it. He had that demeanor about him.
Okay.
By the way, that's why Jeannie didn't sue the league when David Stern vetoed the Chris Paul trade. She could have. She probably could have won. But she said, I didn't want to be in an adversary relationship with all the owners and have them hate me. And she goes, I need these guys to do business. I need opponents in the league. And I thought that even though we strongly disagreed with the decision to veto the Chris Paul trade, that if I pursued it further, I would alienate my partners. And I think that she got from her dad. I think her dad understood that the game is bigger than just your team. And I think that lends itself to it. But I'm with you, Andy. I like Legacy better than Winning Time, and I liked them both.
Sure.
I'm going to continue to watch both of them, by the way.
There's going to be more seasons of Winning Time.
Yeah, and my guess is, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is, you know, the winning time ended with the Lakers winning the title in 79-80.
Yeah.
And my guess is they're going to yada yada their way from through 82 where they won it again, 83 where they got swept by the Sixers, and get to 84 where it was Lakers Celtics.
Yada yada their way through.
Yeah, I think. Don't you? I mean, no, there isn't.
Well, it depends on how many seasons you're going to. Like, I'm pretty sure they optioned Jeff Perlman's book on the Kobe Shaq era.
Yeah, so that's coming.
So that's coming too. So it depends on. You got to timeline this. How confident are you that you can get through so many seasons? Because you don't want to theoretically get canceled before you get to the book that's optioned.
Right. You mentioned that most owners wouldn't do a deal around their GM. One of the reasons that today's news that the Angels are for sale is makes sense to me is because Artie Moreno never followed that rule. He couldn't get out of his own way. We'll talk about the Angels being for sale and the latest on the Dodgers. That's next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Today it's Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland, as Mason is in Costa Rica. A few more people want to comment on winning time versus legacy. Here's Brian in Oxnard. Hey, Brian, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. Wait, Brian, which one do you like better?
Well, this is what I was going to say. I haven't had the chance to watch Legacy yet, but I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. As a passionate Laker fan, I'm so excited to watch it. I refuse to watch Showtime, as should any Laker fan, in my opinion, because the best way I can describe it is this way. Obviously, it's not accurate. They're making the great Jerry West, a Laker icon legend, Mr. Laker himself, look like a complete jerk from what I'm reading and seeing. The Laker organization also doesn't support it. So, me as a fan, why am I going to watch that? It's kind of like hanging out with a buddy. He's telling you a lie, but you're sitting there entertaining it because you're bored. I can't understand how Laker fans can get behind it. It kind of shows the level of boredom that you might have in your life if you watch it, in my opinion.
Thanks, Brian, for the phone call. Andy, I'll consume any Lakers-related content, particularly from that era.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you right now, as somebody who's doing a Laker podcast 5 days a week in the offseason, you put out anything Lakers I'm watching,
because right.
I need the content.
Yeah, and I think they're both worth watching. Here's Dan in the great city of Manhattan Beach. Hi, Dan.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. My choice is winning time. You know, it's all about just entertainment. I'm not looking to get educated. I don't think they're going to get that from a show as much as it is from other sources. The one thing about both these shows that has made me realize, particularly Legacy, is that I think it's time for the buses to go. I think it's time, just like Moreno to sell, you know, the Angels. It's I think the time's over. They're not up with the times. The fact that they had to get involved in creating this production to kind of their legacy is just tells me everything. I think buses need to sell just like Moreno did today.
All right, thanks, Sam, for the phone call. I think that's unlikely, Andy.
I think it's quite unlikely.
Yeah. Here's Tim in Vegas. Hey, Tim, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Tim. Which one you like better?
So here's my question, actually, because I haven't actually watched either one of them. I lost total interest in watching Showtime in the beginning when you guys first started talking about
winning time.
That came out.
Winning Time.
So I was like, I don't even want to watch it. I'll wait for the documentary. But now, after hearing you guys talk about both of them the way you've been talking about both of them, I want to watch them, and I want to watch both of them, but I don't know which one I should watch first. So I was asking you guys' expert opinion, which one should I watch first?
All right, so this is what I would do. Winning Time is, I just wish they would have stuck to the book, and they didn't. There is so much factually incorrect about Winning Time that if you're a real big Laker fan like me, it's disturbing the liberties they took with people that I actually know. Like, the Jerry West character is completely over the top ridiculous. It's terrible.
Tim, how much do you think you know about the Lakers right now?
Everybody likes to say and act like they know a lot, but I don't know anywhere compared to what I should know, claiming that I'm a diehard.
You should watch Legacy first.
Right, because then you can watch Winning Time. Like, there, look, I'm not gonna pretend that Legacy doesn't likely soft pedal certain things or, you know, give cover to certain, like, I'm sure that happens. There's a perspective from this documentary, an objective from this documentary from people like Jeannie and Linda Rambis and all the other people connected to Lakers, I'm sure. I don't mean that as a criticism. I'm just saying it's reality, but yeah. It is likely going to be more just purely historically accurate than Winning Time. So if you want the foundation of knowledge, watch Legacy first, then you can get whatever you want out of Winning Time.
Yeah, then Winning Time, then you'll know what actually.
Yeah,
yep. Tim, thanks for the phone call. You'll know what actually happened, and then you can kind of say, okay, they took dramatic lessons.
Right,
or I would recommend reading Jeff's books. They're both really good. Well,
definitely read Jeff's books.
And if they would have stuck to the books, I think they would have been fine. Those of us who know the world pretty well look at certain things in Winning Time and go, really? You had to go there? There's a made-up thing where Norm Nixon plays magic in one-on-one at Sterling's white party. It
never happened. I did not mind that scene, though, because it was really well filmed. And Norm Nixon's son, who plays his dad, is phenomenal in Winning Time.
Well, let me say this about Winning Time. I think there's some performances in Winning Time, especially that of John C. Reilly as Dr. Buss.
My favorite.
That are incredible. The kid they found to play Magic looks
Quincy
just like
Isaiah.
Him.
He's amazing.
The guy they found to play Kareem looks
Solomon
just
Hughes.
Like him. How? I mean, think about that. How do you find guys to play those roles and they're great?
Yeah.
They're all three of those guys are great.
And I forgot his name. I think his first
Solomon
name
Hughes, I believe.
Well, no,
is the guy who plays Kareem.
Norm Nixon's son.
Deshaun.
He's phenomenal as his dad. He's terrific.
I think it's Deshaun.
I thought it was Devon.
Could be. Devon might be right.
Yeah.
I might be off.
He's terrific playing his dad.
Yeah, he's really good. And the casting was great. And it's fun to watch. It's entertaining. Okay. So let's pivot to baseball here. The big news is that the Angels are for sale. I don't think it's going to take long. I think there are very few baseball teams that get taken for sale. We were talking about, we told the story earlier about Dr. Buss trading James Worthy to the Mavericks and then having to rescind it. One of the problems that Artie had when he was the owner of the Angels is he kept making moves outside of his baseball office. In other words, he went and got Josh Hamilton. He went and got Albert Pujols. And when you do that, if you want to swing big as an owner, he was the guy behind the Vernon Wells deal,
mm-hmm.
Gary Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that as an owner, it doesn't just minimize your baseball people and make them feel small. It hamstrings their flexibility because you're paying these names I'm mentioning, the Pujolses, the Hamiltons, the Wellses, the Matthews. They're becoming your highest paid player, and it takes all your money. And if you couple that, Andy, with the fact that he refused to go over he used the luxury tax, in essence, as a hard cap.
Yeah.
Then that's the definition of dysfunction, isn't it?
Yeah. He would not get out of everybody else's way, wouldn't get out of his own way, because he ultimately wanted credit. It's the Jerry Jones syndrome. I mean, Jerry Jones is obviously one of the most successful owners in the history of professional sports in this country, and he's going to have a legacy that includes, I think, shaping the NFL in a lot of positive ways. But as an owner, certainly over the last decade or so, it's been, you know, covered by multiple reports, he has been invasive, and he's gotten in the way. I think it's gotten in the way of getting a really good coach, because ultimately he wants to have the highest say in everything, and that doesn't work. Like, it's difficult enough just to be an owner of a team. Like, right. That's not easy to do in and of itself, to do it well. And delegating authority is a skill. But when you try to be the owner and the coach and the GM and the player personnel guy, you try wearing all of those hats at once while you control the purse strings, that is a recipe for disaster.
And I think Artie was guilty of that. And if you're an Angel fan, I think today you should be genuinely excited that you might get what the Dodgers got when they got rid of Frank McCourt. And that is a deep-pocketed owner who's going to bring in somebody like Theo Epstein and hand the ball over to baseball people and let them run it. That's the dream if you're an Angel fan today.
Well, what do you think of this idea? So this guy named Menace, who works on the Woody Show here on 98.7 in LA, he says, go to Vegas, get a fan base, and give Disney the land back for a third park.
So baseball in Vegas.
Baseball in Vegas. You get into all Vegas to yourself. It could be Trout in Vegas. The whole thing. Ohtani might even stay there. You get a whole new brand fan base just for yourself. I think that's a great idea. And then Disney gets a third park.
Well,
they're the secondary team here,
right? But Disney doesn't need a park in Anaheim. They've already got one.
No. You add a third park. So they already have California Adventure and they have Disneyland. They add a third one in where the Angel Stadium is, which is right across the street.
Right.
So I just think, take that part out of it if you want to. Going to Vegas and owning Vegas, the Raiders are doing, just like the Golden Knights are doing.
Just like LeBron, rumored, wants to. He said he wants to have a team, an NBA team in Vegas.
So if you're the Angels, why don't you go to Vegas?
It's interesting. You know, the A's are the team that's always used Vegas as a stalking horse.
Beat them out of it.
And they're dealing with their own stadium issues right now.
Right.
First of all, I just love the idea of a team named the Angels in Vegas. That's fantastic.
You can rebrand.
Sin City?
No,
Angels in Sin City.
No, don't rebrand. It's even better.
No, you keep it.
It's interesting. I've always looked at Orange County as a separate market from L.A.
Well, then don't be called L.A.
Well, they did that to try and capitalize on L.A. advertising dollars.
But that just lets you know. That's how you know that it's not working. When you have to try too hard. When you're efforting that hard to keep yourself separate, but also part of the city you're trying to distinguish yourself from, that's compensating for your market.
It'll be worth watching. And again, what'll be interesting is how long this is going to take. You know, sometimes sales of a team take a year to go through. This strikes me as the Angels announcing it themselves. They've hired a firm to sell the team. I think this could happen before the end of the baseball season.
Well, Artie Moreno has a reputation for stubbornness. And, I think that stubbornness would keep him from theoretically selling the team, even though fans have been begging him to do this for like a decade plus. But I think also if he's willing to offset that stubbornness with this type of announcement, I think you're right. It probably means this thing is coming soon, because otherwise – he's not the type of personality that would want it out there in the first place.
All right, coming up next, when stories are too good to be true, they normally are. In other words, Dennis Rodman may not be saving the world. We'll get into that next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it's rare that sports and politics collide, but that's what's happened with Brittany Griner, who's detained in Russia. She's arguably the best player in the WNBA. She's been sentenced to 9 years in prison for having illegal drug paraphernalia. I think she had a vape pipe
in
her luggage. So Dennis Rodman, the five-time NBA champion and world-renowned eccentric, former Bull, former Piston, former Laker, very briefly, announced last week that he's going over to Russia to help that girl. And the U.S. State Department came out and said, that is a horrible idea. We're in the middle of a negotiation. Anything you do could derail our efforts to get her home. I was kind of hoping it was true, Andy, because the sight of Rodman being given credit for getting Brittney Griner out of Russia would have been fantastic for social media. Is this dead, or do you think Dennis Rodman could ride in late on a white horse and bring Brittney Griner back to the States?
Okay, in all seriousness, I hope it's dead because this is Brittney Griner's actual life we're talking about.
And what happens if he gets her back?
It's Dennis Rodman. It's Dennis Rodman. Like, in all seriousness, I it should be emphasized this is a terrible situation. I want her to get out. That being said, that we live in a world where Dennis Rodman going into Russia and attempting this doesn't seem out of the realm of possibilities. Like, remember there was talk that he was going to be like the I don't know what you'd call it, the go-between between the U.S. and North Korea?
Yep.
Like, he was
going to... Because he's got a relationship with Kim Jong-un,
right,
too.
Exactly. He's played basketball with Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un and him are very good friends. Like, Dennis Rodman was going to be the guy saving us from a nuclear parish. Like, the idea that Dennis Rodman could do this, I don't think it's a good idea. That it could happen doesn't feel out of the realm of possibilities. 2022 is wild, John.
Yeah, he says now he's, at least for now, he's not going.
Yeah.
And he's going to let the State Department do their thing. If it doesn't work, though, what do we got to lose?
He should just, well, I think Brittney Griner would say, I've got a lot.
But, I mean, he's going over there with, I mean, peaceful intentions,
sure,
right? I mean,
sure.
Do you really think he could screw it up?
Yes. I think.
Really?
Yes. It's a very volatile state, Russia. Dennis Rodman has been known every now and then, John, to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. This is not a situation where you want Dennis Rodman off the cuff, you know, off the cuff, seven vodka tonics in, you know, just deciding to throw out some ideas to Vladimir Putin. It's just not a great idea. It's a great concept. It's not a great idea. There's a difference.
Okay.
Love the concept, hate the actual idea, execute it.
All right, I wanted to mention this too. I can't remember if you were with us last week when we did this, or it might have been two weeks ago. Were you here when we told the story of Freya, the 1,300-pound walrus?
No.
All right, so there was this walrus in Norway, okay, and 1,300 pounds, and it liked to take naps on the boats that were docked in Oslo. And, yeah, and Freya was destroying all the boats because she's 1,300 pounds. She would go up on the deck to take a nap, and the boat would sink.
Right.
And the rich guy boat owners were getting mad that nobody was doing anything. But the walrus is 1,300 pounds. And so after she had destroyed a couple of docks and three or four boats, they decided to euthanize the walrus. And here's my question. I don't mean to go all PETA here, but weren't there other alternatives other than killing the walrus,
go
Bergman?
Go all PETA here, John. That is disgraceful. The idea that you're going to just euthanize this walrus because it's messing up your yachts? Like, you want to talk about the most unrelatable one-percenter problems ever.
And apparently Freya, the walrus, had done this in other countries. Had gone and wreaked havoc on the docks, and then she just migrated over to Norway and started messing with Norway. Now, I'm not anti-yacht. I think if you listen to the show, you know I'm kind of bougie.
No,
you love yacht rock.
I do love yacht rock. I would love to have a yacht.
I love yacht rock.
I'm not sure I'm okay with killing the walrus.
You shouldn't be okay with killing the walrus. I mean, like, move them if you have to.
Yeah, like, we can't. I think we're not smart enough to, like, come up with a contraption that can get the walrus out to sea where it's not doing damage. Did we have to kill the walrus?
Nah, man, you just...
This is kind of cold and insensitive, isn't it?
Is there nothing you can do to protect your boat? Like, you can't put some type
of... No, she's 1,300 pounds.
Boat insurance.
And yeah, but I think that's what was getting mad, was the boat insurance people.
There's got to be something, though, that you can put over your boat to protect it from the walrus. Like, there's got to be something.
Andy, there is no such thing that will protect you. Here's a picture of Freya climbing on the boat, okay? She's so big. It'd be like Shaq sitting in one of those tiny folding chairs you use for little kids. There's just no way to do it. And by the way, this has caused a major controversy with all the animal rights activists in Norway. And I normally don't weigh in on these things, but I mean, really? We had to kill it? That seems unusually harsh to me.
I had not seen Freya's picture before. I don't mean to fat shame, but she has let herself go.
Yeah.
She looks...
But does that mean she deserves
How
to,
dare you?
To pay for it with
no,
her life? You fat shamer?
She absolutely does. I've been pro Freya this entire time. I think that is such a bad look for all of these boat owners. Like, again, like, you want to talk about looking like the most cold, unconscionable one percenters out there? That's horrible.
So, according to Walker Bueller's Instagram post, thank you, Carlo, Tommy John's round two, let's roll, see you when I see you, Dodgers. Walker Bueller is going to have Tommy John surgery for a second time.
Yeah, now, here's what worries me. All right, no Walker Bueller. Clayton Kershaw is rehabbing, but he's still on the injured list. Bergman, is it ridiculous if the playoffs started today? And there's no Bueller and there's no Kershaw.
Yep.
Did you see Dustin May pitch while I was gone?
He was so good.
And I mean, like, filthy.
Yeah.
Dustin May's young.
Uh-huh.
I think most people are going to suggest Urias becomes the number one starter.
He absolutely
if there's no Kershaw. And then maybe because of the year he's had, Gonsolin would be the number two.
If no Kershaw.
Right. I'm not so sure I don't pitch Dustin May in game one, and here's why. If he's got the filthiest stuff, pitch him at home. Pitch him at home where he's going to be comfortable. If Urias has already proven he can win on the road. Gonsolin and Anderson have more experience. Am I a nut job for suggesting Dustin May number one start in the postseason?
So game two would also be at home, so you can still pitch him in game two and he'll still be at home.
So Pichulio game one, Dustin May game
Julio
two?
Julio is by far and away the number one starter. There is no way you can take him out of that spot. I personally would go May the number two spot. I've been arguing this with other people, like with Travis. I love what Tony Gonsolin has done this year, but I'm
sorry. All right,
let's
make it harder. What if Kershaw is healthy?
Kershaw's two.
Wait, you Kershaw's not one?
No. Urias is one. Urias is one. Absolutely.
Don't you want Dustin May to be able
Urias
to...
Urias is number one.
Okay, wait. If you have a game seven, don't you want the guy with the filthy stuff, Dustin May, and available for game seven?
You can pitch him out of the pen in that situation. But you can
but
you
what,
can have
what
him
if
back
he,
up.
What if he's pitching game six?
If he's pitching game six? I mean, look, you can move things around. There's guys that are going to be able to
Andy,
do
where would you
things.
Put Dustin May in the rotation postseason?
Postseason? Yeah. With who's available now?
Let's say Kershaw's available. Let's say no Bueller... No, obviously no Trevor Bauer.
I need to see a couple more starts like this from May. If it stays like this, I would put him ahead of Kershaw. I would.
I would. Well, here's the thing, Greg, to your point.
Yeah.
Urias is the number one starter. No one's going to complain.
His stuff is pretty
filthy. No one's going to complain. All right, so go ahead.
He's got like a 0.75 ERA.
So go ahead and pitch him game one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kershaw's another left-hander, and he can win anywhere. Pitch Dustin May game two and put Kershaw in game three. Let Kershaw pitch on the road.
This is my thing. Whatever order you want to create the rotation with, you should not allow politics and who the guy is determine it. Like, you need to be putting the best options out there. You know, like the idea that, say, Clayton Kershaw would be number two because you can't put him any lower because he's Clayton Kershaw. I don't
Greg, are we
that
sure
all.
That Dustin May even gets a start with the way Gonsolin and Anderson have pitched?
Well, it's going to be – well, see, I'm moving Anderson out of there no matter what. He's been great. But if Dustin May does what he did on Saturday, you have to put him in as a starter and you have to put him towards the top.
He throws 98-mile-an-hour curveballs.
It's out of control. But here's the thing. Game three is a very – always the most important game because you have to win on the road. So in that situation, I actually want Dustin May there. I'd rather have Kershaw pitching in
even
game
though
two.
Even though he doesn't have playoff experience.
He does have playoff experience.
Well, but
he's pitched last year and then – or no, not last year, the year before he pitched in. He pitched during the World Series year.
Yeah, but not – I mean, he
Tony
doesn't
Gonsolin
have,
is one that has difficulty in the playoffs.
I would just love to pitch Dustin May at home. We'll see what happens. But I think it's not ridiculous to suggest Dustin May near the top of the rotation with the way he's been throwing.
No, again, you need to see it more than once.
Right.
But if this is the foundation, he's absolutely in the rotation.
So Dustin May reminds me of like a Jacob deGrom, where the guy that you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, I'm afraid to face that guy because his stuff is so nasty. And I don't feel that way about Tony Gonsolin. I don't feel that way about Tyler Anderson. Thank you. Yeah, so it's Urias and May are the two that I'm like, those guys got stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. All right, coming up next, we'll get Bergman in here. Bobcat, he's got a bunch of stuff he wants to throw at us. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Andre Drummond has 9,519 rebounds. To see where it is, Wilt Chamberlain in his career had 23,924. So he's very, very far off from Wilt Chamberlain. And then Bill Russell and Kareem and all Elvin Hayes are all very much towards the top. Well, Andre Drummond the other day said that by the time I retire, I'll go down as the best rebounder ever. How do we feel about Andre Drummond's confidence, I guess?
Well, he's a great rebounder in his era. I mean, I think 1 year he averaged like 19 rebounds a game. So he can make an argument that in his prime he was the best rebounder in the NBA. Best rebounder ever. Wilt averaged 24 rebounds a game 1 year. I mean, Wilt's the best rebounder ever, and it's not close.
Yeah, I mean, Wilt is arguably the most prolific rebounder ever. You could argue that Dennis Rodman, just in the art of rebounding,
right,
was the best of all of it. Andre Drummond was quite... is quite good at rebounding. He ain't the best ever.
Yeah, if he wants to say, I'm the best rebounder in the NBA right now, we could have a conversation Maybe. About that. He would be in that conversation. But best rebounder ever? Nah.
No, he ain't close.
Bobcat.
All right, so I saw producer Emily of the Travis and Sliwa show wearing these the other day, and I'm seeing a bunch of ads for it recently for some reason. Blue light glasses, and you're supposed to wear them so that they help with like watching TV or looking at your laptop, and they're supposed to shield you from some mm-hmm. of the rays that come out of it. Do you believe in this blue light glasses, and would you ever use them?
No. I mean, I'm sure they provide some type of medical help, but, I mean, come on. I mean, everybody's got a great... there's only so many gadgets I can subscribe to, Jorge. Are you going for the blue light glasses?
Heck no. Like you say, hell no.
Yeah. No thanks, man. This is overkill. Andy, how about you?
I believe that I actually have tried them because I think my wife ordered some mm-hmm. thinking that they would help.
Isn't this one of those things that's on those infomercials during SportsCenter that you... know. Get your blue light glasses now.
Morning infomercial.
She might have just been going down an Amazon rabbit hole. Like, I have no idea. But if assuming I'm talking about the same things, I tried them. I could not tell the difference. Nothing.
This sounds like, remember those power balance bracelets mm-hmm. that we were all wearing and everybody said that they do something for you?
Yeah,
I file this away with that.
They were supposed to help with your golf game. You know you had one of those and you tried it out for your golf
game.
Well,
Trevor Ariza came in here and brought him in for everybody, and he was doing ads for
that.
The company, and he goes and he said, see, they work, and he did all this crazy like carnival barker crap, but they
watch me do
I
a
wore
cartwheel.
One. No, I wore if you find a the year those things were popular, you would see some pictures with me with a power balance bracelet on. I think it was all a fad that I fell for. And I think the blue light glasses are a fad that others are falling for.
You hear that, producer Emily? You're falling for a fad.
Yep. Sounds like it to me.
Bobcat.
All right, what you got, Jorge?
All right, so the movie of the summer, Top Gun Maverick, is streaming today. Starting today, you get to watch it at home, streaming service. Now, it was funny that my buddy's grandpa, he's like, I'll just wait for the DVD. The DVD comes out November 1st. When is the last time you actually popped in a DVD and watched it?
That's a great question. When is the last time I actually watched...
a DVD or a Blu-ray?
A DVD or a Blu-ray.
Because we stream everything
nowadays. At Christmas, at my house, and I'm sure I could stream this just as easily, but... on Christmas Eve, we always watch Love Actually and Wrapped Presents, and since I have it on DVD, I always pop it in. But outside of that, I'm trying to think of how many DVD players I have in my house.
Wait, how big is your DVD collection?
Hundreds.
Okay.
See, that's the sticking point. There's a big sticking point between me and my wife because I have a pretty big DVD collection. Right. She considers it just crap and hoarding, and she wants me to get rid of them, and I won't. And she's always like,
You and I should combine our DVD collections and open a Blockbuster.
Yes.
That'll make money.
This is the thing, though, for real. A, I get concerned that the streaming era is actually going to wipe a lot of movies off the planet because there's certain ones that aren't going to get transferred over to streaming and they're just going to get lost. Mm. But also, too, there's something different about having the physical property in front of you. It's like when you buy CDs or albums as opposed to just, you know, getting it, ripping it.
Yeah, I used to, as a kid, I used to go into record stores all the time.
Oh, I used to live in the record store.
And now, you know, you don't need to.
It's a different experience, though. So I want all those physical DVDs. Like, I want the actual commemoration.
Even though you don't watch them?
I watch them occasionally.
When's the last time you did?
A few months ago, 3 or 4 months ago.
You remember what it was?
I do not. I think it was Man on Fire, but I'm not.
Oh, what a great movie.
I think it's Man on Fire.
But, I mean, it's no use to have them. Well, there's nothing for
it. Man on Fire's on cable all the time.
All the time.
Right.
Also, this is incredible. Top Gun still grossing within the millions. Just this past weekend alone, $5.9 million.
Well, it's great.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to somebody, I met a couple in Utah or in Idaho, and their dog's name was Maverick. Hmm. And I asked him, have you guys seen Top Gun, Maverick? And the woman said, yeah, it's great. And the husband goes, I'm like the only guy who hasn't seen it. I'm going today.
Yeah. There are people who think if movie theaters can eventually rebound, Tom Cruise and Top Gun saved theaters.
Well, hopefully. I don't want to see theaters die. So, I hope you're right.
When did Bombshell come out? Do you remember? That was like 2018?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, so I saw it in a movie theater in Portland and was blown away at how they made Charlize Theron look exactly like Megyn Kelly.
So that is the last DVD that I watched because someone let me borrow it.
Oh, I thought maybe you had the SAG screener.
It might have been the SAG screener. That actually probably
what
it was.
Continue your long streak of not paying for any televised
entertainment. I don't know what you're talking about. Bobcat. Bobcat.
Bobcat.
All right, so Variety came out with a best movies that were never made list. And there's 20.
I saw this.
Yeah, there was 20 of them, but I'm not going to go through all 20 of them. I'm just going to read a couple of them and just see how much you would want to see this movie. So Michael Mann's James Dean biopic starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Would sign up for it in a heartbeat.
Definitely. What Michael Mann with Leonardo DiCaprio, sold.
Sold? Okay. How about Christopher Nolan's Howard Hughes biopic starring Jim Carrey?
Well, that's The Aviator, where DiCaprio played Howard Hughes, is kind of the definitive Howard Hughes movie. I don't think we need another one, do you?
I think Jim Carrey would be weird casting as Howard Hughes. I don't need to see that.
I feel like he can do anything, though. All right, how about Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill Volume 3?
I have never seen Kill Bill 1 and 2 in their entirety. I've seen parts of them.
I think Kill Bill 1 and 2 would have been a better movie if you just combined them into one film. They did not need two installments, so I don't need the third.
Wow, listen to you guys. All right, how about Spike Lee's Jackie Robinson biopic?
Yep.
Yeah, in.
In.
You know, although 42 is excellent.
42 is excellent.
I don't know if we need improvement on 42.
Well, his would have come out, though, before 42. That was something he wanted to do with Denzel for a while, and Denzel decided that he was too old for it. He recently auctioned off the original script.
How about Stanley Kubrick's Napoleon?
I don't know what it was. Danny DeVito was rumored to be playing Napoleon in Get Shorty.
Right. Well,
he did. It wasn't a real movie, right?
I remember, because if you were living in L.A. in the mid-90s when Get Shorty came out, before that, there were all these billboards all over Sunset that said Napoleon Weir as, Martin Weir, sorry. Yeah. Martin Weir as Napoleon, but it had Danny DeVito's face. So it was totally
It was
confusing.
All part you're of like, Get Shorty.
Yeah, you're like, is that Danny DeVito? Yes. His Napoleon? I mean, Kubrick was always really interesting. I'd be curious to see what he did with it.
I'll go one more.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone's Edgar Allan Poe movie starring Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, wasn't it The Raven?
The Raven? So this is what it says. It might have been called The Raven, but that's...
Yeah, I would watch Robert Downey Jr. as Edgar Allan Poe.
So is Stallone directing it? Did he say that it was...
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I would go, but it's getting harder and harder to get movies made. So, it you is. Know, the hard thing. By the way, going back to my earlier 24-hour Baywatch channel on Samsung, you know who's all over that channel? A young, when I say young, like 20-year-old, clean-shaven, very good-looking, Jason Momoa.
Oh!
He's in it?
He was in several seasons of it as a young Hawaiian lifeguard. Huh. And but with like hair like yours, like short.
Short hair?
Yeah. You know, and no powers and then. No beard. Google Jason Momoa Baywatch and look at the pictures.
I did not know for years that gif that everybody uses of the guy who unfolds the folding chair like in one motion to go sit down and watch something that's about to happen, that's Jason Momoa.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's
for a long time.
Yeah, that's where he started, is as a young lifeguard on Baywatch.
That's so DiCaprio. Weird.
Yeah,
that's our transition. Thank you, Jorge. All right, so I got my car washed yesterday, but I went to one of those gas station car washes.
Okay,
you know where it's real quick.
Yep,
the entire car was wet when I got out of there.
Right,
and it made
There was no dryer.
There was no dryer. The dryer went by it like it was supposed to, but yeah. I got out and my entire windshield was wet. Everything was wet. So I've realized, like, what's the point of these things? So how often do you actually get your car washed, and do you ever go through those gas station car washes?
Yeah, well, gas station ones are like the cheapest ones you can do,
right? Which is why I did it.
But like,
I'm cheap.
Yeah, but there's a car wash on Sepulveda. Like, there's a place called Red Carpet in Manhattan Beach that is spectacular. It's like the best place you can go, and they hand dry your car with towels or anything. It's like real, and it's still very reasonable. But if you keep going down Sepulveda, there's an automatic car wash that has those big, giant blow dryers.
Yeah.
I threw about, I don't know, a few months ago, I was outside an auto parts store, and I bought a fairly decent-sized microfiber towel for this exact reason, Greg, and I keep it where my spare tire is. If I go through one of those car washes that does a lousy job of drying, and your car's just, it looks like it just rained, and it didn't, it
yeah, my car's dirty again.
Right. Get a big microfiber towel. It's less than $10.
Right,
and then you just pull over, dry it off, and you're laughing. But that's what you need.
The whole point. You didn't want to dry it.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole point of going through this for the convenience.
Okay. Wait, Mr. Convenience.
Yeah. Jump on the freeway, bro.
Did you? That's what I did.
Did you at least get your lazy ass out of the car and vacuum it?
No, he didn't.
No, absolutely not. No, I got gas. I was on my way to work. I got the gas. I paid a little bit, you know, I got a little bit cheaper because I got the car wash, and I went through the car wash and I got on the freeway. I was coming to work.
Yeah, but the freeway was 5 miles an hour anyway.
Yeah.
There's no point.
This is the problem. Greg needs, because he said he went for the cheapest car wash possible, and that's how he ended up in this. He needs a bootleg car wash. Like, he needs to find some type of bootleg car washing service where he doesn't actually pay for it.
When I was in, last time I got my car washed, Lisa has our car up in Idaho, and I drove by a car wash, and there was a high school volleyball fundraiser. So I justified getting my car washed and hand-dried because my $20 went to the high school volleyball team. Yeah. I don't even know what high school. I think that kind of defeats the purpose.
It's the most John Ireland answer of all time.
Oh, it's for charity. Wash my car.
Bobcat.
All right, that'll do it.
All right. The news broke today that Kevin Durant is going back to the Nets. And did you see the news? I know you and Momo talked about this yesterday. Did you see that Tom Brady and Gronk were pretty much a done deal to go to the Raiders? I'm going to ask this question when we come back. When Hall of Fame talent becomes available, I mean, guys you know immediately put you in the conversation for a championship. Tom Brady, Kevin Durant. Why don't more teams go for it? We'll get into that next. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.